Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 7. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In Christ, in whom, your King James says, which means in Christ, in the beloved Son, we have redemption through his blood. I want you to see the connection with redemption and blood. It's very important. If you're redeemed, it's because the price has been paid for your redemption through blood. When Jesus died, he paid the price, and the price was not silver and gold, according to Peter, but it was his blood. That was the price, the only price that would redeem. Now, the word redeem means to buy back from the power or authority of another. When you redeem something, there's always a price to be paid. You go to the grocery store, you may not realize it, but you redeem your groceries. And it says at the bottom of that little coupon, this coupon redeemable at so many cents on the dollar. Well, technically in the scripture, when you redeem something, you're buying back something that you originally possessed. It's similar to going to a pawn shop where you pawn your grandmother's ring and then you live in regret and you go back and you have to buy it back. Well, we were created by Almighty God and he came to redeem, to purchase, to buy, and the price is the blood, in whom he has redeemed us through his blood. Now, that is the same sentiment that's given in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Not any different. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That word forgiveness is really the word remission, or to blot out sin. It's more than forgiveness. It's remission. Its sins are blotted out and you become a new creature. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, I've given you the seven redemptive names of Jehovah. We typed them out for you because we thought it might be easier. Those are called redemptive names. God is called a lot of different things. His revelation of who he is progressive. He spoke to Abraham and called himself El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. When he spoke to Gideon, he called himself Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And so the revelation, what we know about God over the years, has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. It's progressive. It's moved farther. You understand, the day you met me, you knew very little about me. But as you came to know me, especially those who are close into me, they know more about me than they ought to know. That's the truth. To my nieces, I'm Aunt Becky. Each name indicates some aspect of who I am, my relationship, and what I will do for them. To Ashley, my granddaughter, I'm Memes or Mima. In the driver's license bureau, they always say Rebecca. And my mother intended for me to be a Becky Sue, but that didn't work out for her. Even though in the South it should have worked out, it just didn't. The Sioux got dropped long ago. So all of those names indicate who I am, my responsibility, my relationship, and how I'm going to interact with them based on who I am. Now, God began to reveal who he was, and he revealed it progressively. Abraham needed God's abundant provision, and he began to reveal himself to Abraham, and he called himself the God who's more than enough, because he's going to send Abraham into the promised land. He's going to do some things, and that's the aspect of God's personality. All of these indicate some aspect of who God is, of his personality. Now, these names, God has many, 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 many names, and you can get books of his names and study those. Excellent study. But these names are called redemptive names, and that all of these names were secured by blood. All of these names, all of these provisions come to you through Jesus' blood. It says, you've been redeemed through blood. The name Jehovah means the self-existent one who reveals himself. And he revealed himself progressive. You understand, if he came to Abraham and said, I am God Almighty, which means one thing. I am Lord, which means another thing. I'm El Shaddai, which means another thing. I'm Jehovah Shalom, which means something else. I'm Jehovah Shammah, which means something else. You know that Abraham would have been totally overwhelmed. And so God began to open up like a rose, a gentle rose, those things that Abraham needed to know. Well, in the life of Gideon, God called Gideon to do a task that Gideon didn't think he was prepared for. And he protested. He said, you know, you've asked the wrong person. I'm from a poor household. He didn't think he was qualified. And then when he realized he was talking to the angel of the Lord, he got very, very nervous and said he fell into fear. And God gave him that name, revealed. He said, I am Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, the self-existent one. And how he revealed himself to Gideon was he was the God of peace. Now, these names, some authors use eight names. I only use seven because the eighth one is sometimes used and sometimes not used. These seven names have been secured for you, provided for you, given to you because of Jesus' death and resurrection. And we talk about redemption. The book of Hebrews calls it eternal redemption. We need to expand our definition of eternal. It doesn't simply mean to live forever. I always say the sinner lives forever, but he doesn't have eternal life. But eternal means perpetual or continual. There's a life like a fountain, like a geyser that continually bubbles and continually overflows. It's eternal. It's ongoing. And there's a redemption purchased by blood, secured by Jesus' blood, not any other blood, but purchased by blood, which is continue, which is ever flowing, eternal redemption. So these redemptive names are eternal. They're perpetual. They're continual. Now, that anytime you need any of these things from the Lord, these things are provided for you. They're perpetual. They are there. You know, sometimes you go to the pantry and it's not there. Have you ever done that? With teenagers, you have to label things, you know. Yes, no, yes, no. No means I've got that for a recipe, and if you eat that, I'm going to chop your fingers off, you know, at the first knuckle. Teenagers have to learn the rules. But a lot of times you go to the pantry. It's really discouraging when you had your first two ingredients measured out, you know. Have you ever done that? I think, where are the... Don't we have any? I thought we had some. And you didn't. But God's more than enough. He's more than enough. He's the redemptive one. These are redemptive names. This is how he revealed himself over time. This is how he showed you who he is and what he's going to do and what he's going to continually, perpetually, always do. Now you have to claim that by faith. It ain't just going to happen. That's been the misnomer of religion, that you just stand still and God does what he wants to do. You stand still and expect God does what he wants to do, you're going to be left out of some things, because the just shall live by faith. Faith is a misnomer about sovereignty, a misunderstanding. But the just live by faith. And so these are the things that faith will bring you. These are the things that you can capture. These are the things that have been purchased. Now, the blood of Jesus, that eternal redemption secured by his blood, is on the altar of heaven. Hebrews makes that very clear. In other words, when God looks out across the altar, it says heaven has an altar. He sees that blood, and that blood stands for all of these things that have been provided for you that you can have. It's a wonderful thing. And what, no matter, and God's memory is not short, but if it were short, he'd look across that altar. He sees constantly that blood and sees what it's purchased, what it's bought, what it's provided. And he sees your heart of faith, and he brings to you through the blood, by your faith, all of these provisions. These are redemptive. They're continual. They're ongoing. Now, the first one is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present, or the Lord is there. Either word is correct. The Lord is present, or is there. You remember Jesus, when he gave the commission to go into all the world, he said, "Lo, I'm with you." God is always present. He is never missing in action. He's here. Now, he said the same thing in Hebrews. That's an excellent verse. Let's just read that one, Hebrews chapter 13. Where he says, "I will never leave you, forsake you." Because it opens our heart to the fact that God is not just watching. He's working. He's there for a purpose. He's present for a reason. Chapter 13, verse 5, "Let your conversation," which is the Greek word for lifestyle or behavior, it doesn't have to do with speech, "be without covetousness or greed, and be content with such things as you have." That doesn't mean you have lack. It means you don't have it, and you're supposed to be happy not having it. God says, "For I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord's my helper." That's why he's there, is to help you. That's why you can be content, because the helper is here to meet your need. And if you ask, you shall receive. God is here. God is here working. He's here on a permanent basis. The blood of Jesus Christ on that altar says God is here. He's always here. Now let's prove that in Colossians. All of these go back to blood. All of these are available. All of these have been secured. Anchored in blood. When we bought Wayne a workshop, we were God provided for us so that we could buy it from somebody else and just pay the price of having it moved. But it had to be anchored. It had to be properly anchored. And in Florida, that's real important. As you know, things blow away. It's real important now in a lot of places, but it's real important here because things blow away. And we had it anchored properly. And all of these are anchored in blood. And the blood is perpetual. It's continual. It's available. It's always. It's never ceasing. It's never ending. None of this is going to go away. None of this is going to be altered. You have available to you, because of the blood, God's abiding, perpetual, continual presence. He's always here. Now, sometimes Wayne's not always available. I mean, when I think he's there and I go, and I thought, where'd he go? And I go in the office. I said, "Have you seen your daddy? Where is he?" He has a way of disappearing. Not so much as he used to, because he knows I find that irritating. We raised our children by specific rules. We come from a very legalistic family, everything in due order. And our children were not allowed to just disappear. I still believe that with every fiber of my being. I believe that for every family. Some things are cumbie rules, and some things are good for everybody. And the children don't just disappear. And when Joel would go over to Mark's and Mark wasn't home, he'd call me on the phone and say, I'm next door at Billy's because Mark's not home. And I always knew where he was. And even when he lived in our house, he was an adult living in our house so he could save money to buy a house, which worked out. God was a real blessing to him. And he would call me and he said, now, Mother, I'm not going to be in till midnight. I'm not going to be in till 2 o'clock. He's an adult. He can stay out as long as he wants to, but he can't stay out without checking in. He lives in my house. And God said, I'm here. And it doesn't matter if you sense he's here, you feel he's here. You know, sometimes I don't feel anything. I don't sense anything. And maybe the next person's leaping and excited. I'm thinking, has that ever happened to you? Why, it's happened to me just right along. I'm thinking, what? You know, maybe you think maybe I should sit in their lap or something. I mean, you know, something's happening and I missed it. But you can know and see. We lift holy hands by faith and we said, I know you're here. I know you're here. I know you're here. He said he's here. You don't have to feel like it. Colossians 1 proves that to us. I think it's Colossians. It's actually Ephesians. You know, you take a week off and you just, something happens to your brain. I actually was working, but been a long time since I did 3 Sunday services. It was work. 2:13. But now, when? Now. When? Now. Tomorrow? No. Now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made what? Nigh or near by the blood. What brought you into God's presence? What got God's presence to you? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why John said, abide in me. My words abide in you. If we abide, if he's the vine and I'm the branch and we're abiding, there's that continual flow and his presence. You know, if the branch is abiding on the tree, it's on the tree. It's not off the tree. It's not over here somewhere. It's on a tree. Now, you can tell by some of the shrubbery that that branch is not receiving what it should receive from the tree. But you go out there and you shore it up and you water it. Or you see if it needs to be trimmed or pruned or something. But when something abides and when something's connected, I mean, if you're connected, you're connected. You know, this is like a staple. We have all kinds of staple guns. We have even upholstery staple guns. And some of those would staple your whole body to the wall. It's like, I think maybe in nurseries that's a good idea. I don't know, but that was just a joke, just for fun. It isn't any different when he said Jesus is the head and you're the body. The body and the head are connected. The head is always there. If the head's not there, the body's in trouble. They're connected. You're the branch. He's the vine. You're connected. He said, I'm always here. We are always connected. But I don't feel like it. You know, sometimes I feel more like house and garden than I do the word of the living God. But I know. We used to say, what side the bread's buttered on? You heard that expression? I know what's good for me. And those people in house and garden, if you have some dilemma, they are not coming. And I don't care how many hours you watched them and how well you think you know them, they are not coming. But Almighty God said, I'm Jehovah Shammah. I'm here. I'm present. The blood brought me near. The blood connected us. We are connected. And that's, you know, there's a, I can't remember if it's John Wesley or Martin Luther said, feelings come, feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. I rest upon the word of God. Naught else is worth believing. You know, sometimes I feel wonderful. I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus. I feel like I'm vibrating. I feel like you should notice I'm vibrating. Even though you didn't notice, seems like I'm vibrating. And sometimes I don't even feel like a straw blowing in the wind. But he's here. Jehovah Shammah, the one who's always here. And it's the blood that brought him here, and the blood is on the altar of heaven. It's still there. It's always there. It's perpetually there. It's continually there. He's here, and you're connected. And that's just the way it is. And I don't care how far you run. The psalmist said you go to the depths of hell. He's there. You cannot escape the presence of God. You just are not going to escape. You may think you've escaped, but he's there. He's waiting on you. Oh, how wonderful. Now, Jehovah Shalom is the God of peace. Look at John 14. The Lord, our peace, the self-existent one who reveals his peace. These are the things about God that were purchased by blood, that are secured by blood, that are anchored by blood, just like that workshop is now anchored. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. John 14, is that verse 26? Let me see. 26. No. 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace. In other words, there's a worldly peace. Worldly peace depends upon circumstances. Everybody's got a good report card. The car's running good. It's my favorite car. I love this house. I'm fixing to get a new sofa. The air conditioner's working perfectly. I mean, there just isn't anything. The world, in order to have worldly peace, everything has to be in perfect, sound order. That's why if you depend upon the peace the world gives, you're always up and down, always in and out. While we were gone, the day before we left, a power surge blew through Daddy's house and eliminated a lot of very important things. We have renters there now. The air conditioning, the stove, the ceiling fan, the stereo system. And we're getting ready to go out of town. And things are not working. And things have to be fixed. But see, if things are not working for you, God is right here. Christ in you. He's here. He's there. And it's very difficult to maintain your peace. We had the air conditioner fixed. God helped us. Long distance we had it fixed, but it didn't work for 2 days. And the little boy called. He said, sweetie, he said, Aunt Becky, tells you who he is, Granddaddy's air conditioner's not working. I went, we got to get back on the phone, get out your credit card, call the people. And they've got to sleep a couple nights in that hot house till we can get it all together. And it was hot. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. I about lost my peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. I kept trying to anchor. Kept trying to come back to the promise. Come back to the provision. Come back to the God of peace. He said, you have my peace. Worldly peace depends upon circumstances. And if the air conditioner's not coming, you will not have peace. Unless you know him. They had the key to my house. I said, take the key to the house. Go stay at the house. Turn the air conditioner on. Please don't leave it on when you go to work. They decided to stay in that hot house. And all of that time, I'm trying to anchor in peace. Jehovah Shalom is the God who gives peace. 1 Thessalonians, and the very God of peace. That's who God is. That's who he is in me. If I abide in his presence, I have his peace. And it doesn't depend upon the air conditioner or the stove or the VCR or the ceiling fan or the air purifier. They all died. Phew, and they were gone. But it doesn't matter what dies. Your anchor holds in God. And you have peace. And you have that kind of peace. People think there's something wrong with you. They just think you're not paying attention. Your elevator doesn't go to the top floor. You'd be distressed. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, Jehovah Shalom, whose mind is stayed on thee. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? See, if you're anchored, you have peace. My daddy's little house, and it is a little house, has gone through every hurricane. They gave us a hard time to insure that house. They sent inspectors. I was not concerned. I was there hanging out the bedroom window when Hurricane Donna came through. And the oak tree went, blam. I know it'll hold. I was there through a number of other hurricanes. Daddy was there through many hurricanes. That house stands. There isn't any doubt it's going to stand. Will your house stand? Will your peace stand? You know how you lose your peace? Is that a spot in the carpet? That's what we think. I said, Wayne, I thought you cleaned this carpet. Or maybe the day you couldn't find your other shoe or your other earring. Thou will keep him and keep your mind centered. He is Jehovah Shalom. The thing he has for you. It's purchased by blood. Colossians 1. If it's purchased by blood, it's perpetually, continually, always available. It's not going anywhere. God's not going anywhere. He is here. His peace is here. It doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter if it looks up or down or inside out to you. God is here. His peace is here. You can have peace. All you have to do is keep your mind on Him. Roll every care upon Him. Turn every worry and burden over to Him. And say, God, I know You're here and I have peace. Listen, the only reason you would not have peace if you turned something over to somebody to do is if you didn't think they were going to do it. You didn't think they would do an adequate job. Or, for some of us, you didn't think they were going to do it exactly like you would do it. And shame on you. I believe in artistic license. And enough said. But He's more than enough. He's more than enough. He's El Shaddai. You know, you can just lose your peace going up and down the stairs. This place we've used for a number of years now has 3 floors. It's a long way up. And every step, my knees go, creak, 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 creak. And I'm saying, Jehovah Jireh. He's more than enough. Are you anchored? Is your peace holding out? Or you got your eyes on the spot? Or the earring? The dog? We were constantly losing over our peace over stupid dogs that you couldn't keep defleed. We dipped, we sprayed. We sprayed the yard, we dipped the dogs, we sprayed the house. We smelled like we were manufacturing insecticide. And all the vet would ever say is, yeah, this is a bad year for fleas. You heard that line? I love that line. Thou will keep him. He is Jehovah Shalom. You are supposed to have peace. You look have peace, you look at Him. Peace is purchased by blood. If it's purchased by blood, it's available. Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of His cross. You can't get any clearer than that. He's here. You draw near to Him through blood. You have peace through blood. Now Jehovah Ray is the Lord my shepherd. Look at John 10. Where there's blood, there's sacrifice. Where there's blood, there's death. In the scripture, Jesus is called Jehovah Reyes, the shepherd. He's called the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the great shepherd. In John 10, He called Himself the good shepherd. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. He introduced Himself. And know my sheep and am known of mine. He knows the sheep. When I studied sheep, I found that when sheep are restless, the shepherd can just go out and lean against the fence post. And a great peace, a calm comes across the pasture, because the sheep are dependent upon the shepherd. Because the shepherd's going to provide the leadership and the guidance. He's going to meet all of their needs, and the sheep know that. He said, I'm the good shepherd. But look at verse 11. I'm the good shepherd, the good shepherd. What gives His life? What gives His life? He gave His life. That's the shedding of blood. That's the blood you're looking for. He is the shepherd today because His blood was shed. He knows the sheep. The life of sheep is cyclical. They start in the winter months in the home pastures. All of those pastures have to be de-weeded. They crawl across them during the summer on their hands and knees to make sure everything that would be dangerous for the sheep to eat is pulled up. So that when they winter them there and they lie down there, they know that what they're getting is good for them. You see, and the shepherd that takes care of 4-legged animals with 2 ears and 2 eyes is going to take care of the height of His creation, which is you. And then in the spring, they move them up the side of the mountain to what's called the table land. And that's what the scripture means. Thou preparest a table. It doesn't have anything to do with a table and 4 chairs. It has to do with the table land, the top of the mountain, the mesa, the plateau. He prepares the table. He prepared the table land because the shepherd walked more than once every inch of that path to make sure that the water was pure, that they wouldn't fall off the edge of the rocks. He even has to dam up some places. And that when he gets there's no weeds there that would kill them or harm them or hurt them. And they're very thin-skinned, very susceptible to diseases. And he makes sure there's some shelter in case there's sudden rains or sudden cool breezes in the mountains. They have to be sheltered. And he walked every step of that shepherd more than once. Because when he begins to move them from the winter pasture back, begins to move them up that tableland in the spring, it would be, he walks that path, he clears that path, and he says, I am the good shepherd. I am going to give my life. He gave His life. He put that blood on the altar so that every time you needed a shepherd, He's there. He's covered every step of your life. He says, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. And he's covered every step. And he's watched everything. And he's laid out the pathway. I don't know what I'm ever going to do. We used to sing, you know me and old music, that's what I know. Look and live, look and live, look to Jesus, now and live. I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah, it's only you should look and live. And I believe that. And if we look unto him, and know he's here to provide peace. He's the shepherd to provide the leadership, to clear the pathway, to make sure I get to the end of the way. When you've gone the last mile of the way and you've come to the end of the day, you got there because you followed the shepherd. And because you knew, I am so confused. But he's your wisdom. He's made unto you wisdom. When you go to the hospital and they give you a blood transplant, that blood will do certain things. And you want that blood to do all of those things, not just some of those things. Right? And all of these things, the blood does. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh. And it brings his presence, and it brings his peace, and it brings the leadership and the protection of the shepherd. That's what he means if in the 91st Psalm, we live within the shadow of the Almighty. If I'm standing here, my shadow's not out there. If you're living within the shadow, you are very, very close. Because the shadow emanates from the foot of the person. And the shadow is there because of the sun. And if you're living in the S-O-N, according to the word, then you can stand in the shadow. And all of that the blood has provided is yours by faith. You just make a claim. So don't I have to qualify? Well, let me ask you this stupid question. You think you can? I think you better forget that and go by faith. Oh, think you can qualify. Okay. I will never get through. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. You know Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need, some of your need, a quarter of your need, occasionally your need. What does it say? And it's because he's Jehovah Jireh. Now look back at Genesis and let me show you something. Genesis, I believe it's 21 or 22. Some of these names are in the original text, have not been changed into English. They left them as they were. This is when Abraham's chapter 22 is going to sacrifice Isaac upon the altar. And as they're going up the hill, Isaac said, verse 7, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And verse 8, it's very profound. It is word of wisdom. My son, God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide for himself a lamb. Jesus was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's saying, God will provide a lamb. God will provide a sacrifice, a permanent, perpetual, continual sacrifice, blood that's going to accomplish so much more than these little animals' blood could accomplish. He said, God will provide a lamb. And then when they get up to the top and he's going to slay Isaac, and the angel interrupts him and says, don't do that. They found a ram caught in the thicket. And it's at that juncture that Abraham said, verse 14, Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord who provides. It really means the Lord who sees ahead and provides. And I love that. And he saw ahead. He saw Abraham's obedience. He saw the potential sacrifice and death of Isaac. And he provided the ram in the thicket. And when Jehovah Jireh is on duty, you have nothing to fear. I read while I was gone, Answers to Prayer by George Mueller. I had read his autobiography, and they took from his autobiography, which is quite lengthy, all of those things that pertain to prayer. Marvelous, marvelous man of prayer. He supported over 1,200 orphans and workers in orphanages in England. Oh, 18-something. Seems like I looked up when he died, but I've forgotten. Just by faith. And he didn't believe in telling anybody that he had a need. Never told anybody he needed anything, ever. Never published it, never. He didn't believe in it. And he went on his knees. And he claimed the provision. And they set the table. And they lined the orphans up around the table. And food always came. And he said, we never missed a meal. He knew Jehovah Jireh. He knew the one provider. But it's more than food. It's whatever you need to nurture your mind and your heart. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It's the word of God. It's the milk of the word. It's that which feeds you. It's the abundance of God's provision. Jehovah Jireh. Look at Ephesians 1. My provider. I like what one great Bible teacher said. Helped my faith a lot. She said, God is never late. Frequently last minute. Never late. And you just know he's here. You can have peace. He is here. He is the provider. He is the shepherd. He has cleared the pathway. If he's cleared the pathway up the mountain, then the provision can get up that mountain. The provision's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And as one of our very profound relatives said, he said, a little hunger won't hurt you anyway. And for most of us, that might be true. Not for all of us. I was complaining one day, and he said, a little hunger wouldn't hurt you anyway. He was making it very personal. But God's coming. Why? The shepherds cleared the pathway. He went up the mountain. He de-weeded it. He provided the water. He's surveyed, because in the narrow passageway, the cougars and the bears would, and you know that from reading the Psalms, and David would leap on the sheep, and the sheep would scatter and become prey to the wild animals. So he's checked all of that out. And after he checked it out, when those sheep start up that mountain, there's provision every step of the way. And it's there for you, because the blood of Jesus is still on heaven's altar. And redemption, the price that was paid, was not temporary. It was eternal. It was permanent. It was continual. It was perpetual. And here's Ephesians 1:3 that confirms that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Anytime you see in Christ, you know that's the shedding of blood. You couldn't come to be in Christ if he hadn't died. And so that gives us one clue. But let's look at a bigger clue than that in Romans chapter 8. Spiritual blessings is more than joy and peace. Spiritual blessings is every blessing that the spirit world can provide. Well, can the spirit world provide health and healing? Can the spirit world provide food and clothing? Certainly they can. Anything God's got, you can have. Now listen, I love this verse, Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us a few things? All things. You know why that is? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes. Look at Hebrews. Jehovah Nissi. This is the Lord our banner. It also means the Lord our victor, or the Lord our captain. Same thing. Banner or victor or captain. And here's that wonderful verse, Hebrews 2:10. Verse 9, we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That's your shed blood. Crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death, participate in death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus is the captain of salvation. And do you see why he was the captain? To bring many sons unto glory. And he died to bring many sons unto glory. And he's the captain. What is through the captain that victory is assured? He's the victor. You know, one lady wanted to sing at Easter time, Up From the Grave. He arose with a mighty triumph. She said, do you know that one? I said, oh, absolutely. Triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor o'er the dark domain. He lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. See, because he arose, because he died, because he conquered Satan, it says he spoiled principalities and powers. That means all things are under the feet of the church. And you are the feet, because Jesus is the head, and you're some part of the body. And everything that Satan tries to do would be under your feet. And I'm well aware he tries to crawl up your leg. Lift your leg, good, and bring it back down on his head. That's why 2 Corinthians said we always triumph. Is it 2 Corinthians 2:14? I think so. It says we always triumph. How much? Why do we always triumph? Because we've got a captain to lead us to victory. We've got a captain that won. We've got a captain that put his foot on the head of Satan and said, now you keep him under your feet. Because whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. He said, I'm going to back up every word you say. If you say, I forbid that in the name of Jesus, God said, I will back you up. I will stand behind you, and Satan will have no part in your life. He's the victor. He's the captain. He was that not for himself, but for us to bring sons unto glory. Now move on to Jehovah Tsidkenu is the Lord our righteousness. You know 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in him, in him. He who knew no sin. You know, when he became sin, he died and went into the place of damnation in order to defeat Satan and come back triumphant. And because he did that, now we can be the righteousness of God. That means we're perfectly acceptable. You're acceptable in every way. I don't care if you weigh 22 pounds or 1,022 pounds. You're acceptable. It's not how you weigh, how much you weigh. It's not how you look. It's not what background you say after, you know, after how I was raised. You always want to blame somebody. I'm a new creation. Shh. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. You're born again. You're brand new. You are the righteousness of God. Romans 3 confirms that, where the word is justified. The word justified and righteous is exactly the same word. And Romans 3, if you look at it, it's in verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, you were justified or made righteous because of redemption. And how is redemption secured? We are redeemed through the blood. Redemption is always secured and anchored in blood. And when you're justified, you're made righteous. If you're made righteous, you're justified. It's not two things. It's only one thing. And it says the grace of God and your faith in that grace brought you the redemption. It justified you free. This is free of charge. All you have to do is believe. Now you are the righteousness. You're perfectly acceptable. You see, there's always, after what I've done. You don't know how many times you would hear that as you pray for people. After what I've done. Or after what mother did. Or after what my husband did. You know, I adore Wayne Cumby, but I'm not always in agreement with him. And sometimes I can't make him do like I think he should. But I am not responsible for him. I can only change me. But when you're righteous, you're accepted. You're just accepted. You know, you go to a job, you have to qualify. We've had some marvelous job stories recently. Marvelous. One little fellow was one of 60 applicants and was hired. One lady was one of 25. She was the oldest and the least educated, and she was the one they hired. One man, when they blotted everybody out of the computer, when the computer came up, somehow his name wasn't blotted out. It should have been. They said, I don't know why your name is still here, but they hired him because his name was there because there's less paperwork. See? Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. The shepherd clears the pathway. The supplies go down that pathway. You have no reason to fear. God is there. He is sending down that pathway everything you need. You can be fully and permanently anchored. He'll bring you the victory, and you're acceptable to him no matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. If you repented. Now, this is all my introduction. You will not believe where we're going to end up. Now look at Exodus 15, Jehovah Rapha, or sometimes called Jehovah Rophe, R-O-P-H-E, it just really doesn't matter. It may matter to the experts, but it doesn't matter to we little spurts. 15:26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put or permit none of the diseases upon you which I brought upon you, for I am Jehovah Rapha. That's what that says. I am the Lord that heals. I am the great physician. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am. Now, what God am, he is, always am. Some things change, but God says, I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you go to that marvelous redemptive chapter in Isaiah chapter 53, where you can see that healing is always linked with blood. It's because Jesus died and was sacrificed that you can be healed. It's because he died and was sacrificed that you have victory, that he's Jehovah Nissi. It's because he died and was sacrificed that you have the ability that you are perfectly accepted like Jehovah Tsidkenu. It's because he died and was sacrificed, his blood was shed, that you have his continual presence, that you can abide in him. It's because he died and was sacrificed that you can have peace beyond understanding on a permanent, continual basis. You don't ever have to be upset or uptight. All of these are redemptive names. They were purchased by blood, secured by blood, anchored by blood. The blood still stands for all these things, and anybody who comes in faith can have all of these things. They're ready. They're available. Now look at Isaiah 53, verse 5. Surely he had borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we'd esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now somebody, some very clever person, said, oh, that's not physical healing, that's spiritual healing. Well, I don't guess they can read, because there's no such thing. Spirit didn't need to be healed. Wasn't anything in there worth healing. This is all our righteousness was as filthy rags. This is therefore if any man be in Christ, he's healed. What? New. Did it say healed or new? It's not the same thing. Healing is a restoration of the body. Restoration. Healing is like getting your furniture reupholstered. Some of it's old, some of it's new. You have new fabric. If they may put in a new spring, they may put in some new strapping or some other things. That stuff was part new, part old. That is not what happened to you. You're new. You're totally new. You were not spiritually healed. You were resurrected. You were totally changed. You are in Christ. You've never been in Christ before. You're in his kingdom. You've never been in the kingdom before. You have his nature. You've never had his nature before. You are not resurrected and partially new and partially old. You are changed. You are completely new. There is no such thing. This is physical healing from the top of your head to the very soles of your feet. Now 1 Peter 2:24 says the same thing. And 1 Peter 2:24 takes us directly to the cross, as does this chapter. See, this is secured by blood. Once you realize God's got it, you can have it. You know why we didn't get healed growing up as a denominational girl? Because we didn't know anybody was healing. First lesson I taught on healing, they told me to cover the basics. And I said, stupid thing, I said, like what? And she said, well, just tell them if God heals today. I said, do we know that? I didn't have a clue. My people perish from lack of knowledge. If anybody had the measles, we had the measles. They had the flu, we had the flu. And everybody had the chicken pox. Well, three of us had the chicken pox. Because that's what we thought we did. But Jesus is a healer. And the blood brings healing. And the blood hasn't diminished. It wasn't bright red, now it's light orange. It's the same color, the same strength, the same power, the same efficacy that it's always been. And it brings peace, and it brings God's presence, and it brings victory, and it brings his provision, and it brings the leadership of the shepherd, and it makes you perfectly acceptable, and it heals your body. And it always, all the time, every time, does all of those things. Now, turn to the 23rd Psalm. That was my introduction. This is my finale. All of those things are in this psalm. It's amazing. Amazing. See, you thought I was finished with the 23rd Psalm, and I may be after today, but you just don't know. Can't be trusted. The Lord is my shepherd. Who is that? Jehovah Rea. The Lord our shepherd, the one who gave his life for the sheep. I shall not want. Who is that? Jehovah Jireh, the one who meets all of your needs. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That is again Jehovah Jireh. It's also Jehovah Shalom, because sheep do not lie down unless they're content and perfectly satisfied and at peace. It's Jehovah Shalom and the peace that come because of the provision. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. That's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He makes you righteous, then he leads you to just walk in that righteousness. This is what righteous people do. This is what righteous people say. There's right standing, being perfectly acceptable, and then there's allowing that acceptance to guide my behavior. You can't just be perfectly accepted, righteous, and live any way you want to. And so here we are. He leads you in righteousness. Shh. Do you see this? Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Who is that? Jehovah Shammah, the one who's always there, who's always present. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. That's the table land, the top pasture, the top of the mountain. In the presence of mine enemies. Who is that? Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner, our captain, our victor. The one who placed the enemy under your feet. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now that when they anoint sheep with oil, it's to protect them from diseases. Sheep are very prone to a little bug that gets in their ear and in their nose. And they'll beat themselves to death on the fence post. And they dip them. They actually dip them and push their head under the water more than once to make sure that every part of that head is covered with the oil. And if people have any problems at all, it's with their head. Just want to drop that as a hint. And this is so very definitely Jehovah Rapha, the great healer, who dips us in oil in order to keep our body together till death do us part. My precious little aunt, her husband had to be put in a home. And she couldn't live by herself, so her son, who was not married, moved in with her. And he would fix her breakfast every morning before he went to work. And one morning, she didn't get up. She didn't get up. She didn't get up. He went and knocked on the door, and he called her. He said, "Mother, Mother." She's elderly. She's in her 80s, I think. And finally, when she didn't answer, he opened the door. She's dead. During the night. Just gone. Just gone. Missing. In the body, present with the Lord. Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're back to where we started. Jehovah Shema. God's continual presence. His presence here and his presence over there. Always his presence. Wayne's dad stepped into heaven before he died. A year before he died, it was Sunday before some holiday, Thanksgiving, wasn't it? And Wayne's family's large, and so they have their Thanksgiving early, and we were having Thanksgiving dinner at Wayne's sister, and Wayne's dad said he had something he wanted to say. And he said, "I don't know why this happened to me." He said, "I'm nobody." He always would have started that way. He was a very humble man who didn't realize that humility is not lowering yourself, it's raising the Lord Jesus above yourself. And he said he saw Jesus. And I said, "What did he look like?" And he just like everybody else that's seen him. You understand, this is a denominational man that doesn't know what you know. It hasn't seen what you've seen. It hasn't heard what you've heard. It doesn't have the testimony. It doesn't know the testimony of anybody else that's been to heaven. And I knew that. And yet his testimony was the same as everybody else who had been to heaven. And he said, "You know, I can't remember." I said, "What?" He said, he said what everybody else did, that he sort of glowed and he looked like love, and that's what everybody says. And then he said down the road he saw his prayer partner. I loved it. Wayne's dad was a very blunt man. He called him like he saw him. He didn't like red lipstick. If you came to his house in red lipstick, he'd be sure to let you know that was not right. He was just always like that. He was the finest Christian man on the face of the earth, but he called him like he saw him. And he said to the Lord, "I'm just going to go down and talk to him, and I'll be right back." And the minute he said that, I said to myself, he was there. And he said something that was beyond his mind, beyond his understanding. He said, "Jesus," "Jesus, I've got something I want you to do." And he said to Jesus, "Seems like you ought to pick somebody younger." He said, "I'm an old man." And Jesus said, "No, I'm going to ask you to do it." And he gave him an assignment, which Wayne's dad was able to come back and fulfill. And then he said something that he did not know, never would have understood, never would have heard anywhere. He said, "Jesus said he would put healing in my hands." And he said, "That's not happening, of course." He didn't know exactly what that was. See, and then I knew three times by what he said, I knew he was there all right. First of all, he described Jesus like everybody did. He talked about healing, which he had no knowledge of. But you see, when God said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you," it doesn't matter if you're here or you're there. God's presence, that blood secured for you for all eternity on a continual, perpetual, forever basis, the heavenly provision. And part of that provision is He's here. Now let me give you the summary. It came to me this morning as I was praying. Jehovah Shammah, you have God's abiding presence. Jehovah Jireh, you have His continual provision. Jehovah Nessa, you have His constant victory. Jehovah Rapha, you have His healing power. Jehovah Tsidkenu, you have His perfect acceptance. Jehovah Reah, you have His loving leadership. And Jehovah Shalom, you have His overwhelming peace. That's who He is. That's who He is. Today, tomorrow, next year, that's who He is. Now, if I short out in any measure, you know what we do? Run to the blood. Something I was reading a few years back said, make much of the blood. I loved that. Run to the blood. It comes through blood. Look at that blood. Oh, we thank You, our Father, for all You've done, for reminding us and stirring us up again that we have no lack. We have no lack. We have no lack. There's nothing that we need that You haven't already done and provided and set on that table for us to participate in. We thank You for that. Thank You, thank You, thank You. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.